This is Talk of the Nation Science Friday. I am Ira Flatow. Science and politics this hour. Later, we'll talk about carbon trading and online politics. But first, when former Vice President Al Gore spoke to Congress this week, he did so at the invitation of Congressman Bart Gordon and his House Committee on Science and Technology. When the Republicans were in power, the Democrats were forced to play a minority role in formulating science policy. And now that they control the gavel, the Democrats are in a position to shape the future of America's science and technology policy, from global warming to space to education. Representative Bart Gordon joins us now to talk about his committee's priorities, what they are for this legislative session. He is a representative of Tennessee's 6th District and chairman of the House Committee on Science and Technology. Welcome to the program.
Thank you, Aaron.
Well, I imagine a fellow Tennessean was well received by your committee.
Very much so. When Al ran for the United States Senate in 1984, I succeeded him in Congress, and so he was a constituent of mine and a longtime friend. And interestingly, the two committees he served on in Congress are the same two that I am currently serving on.
Well, now that the Democrats are in power, what can we expect to see from them about global warming?
Well, I think we're going to take it very seriously. Just recently, the IPCC, composed of 113 nations, unanimously concluded that there is 100% certainty that there is global warming, and that within 90% certainty that it is to a great extent a result of human activity. Mm-hmm. So you're going to see us take a very serious look at this. And we're also going to take a look at it in conjunction with energy independence and how we can put those two matters together.
It seems like energy independence has boiled down to a question of leadership. And it seems like the states, in many ways, in science and in energy, have taken over the lead. You have California and stem cells, California and electric cars and wind energy. You have other states going their own ways. Are we going to be seeing that happening more, or can we expect the federal government and Congress to take some sort of leadership here?
Well, I think it's good to have what you might call experimentation on the state level. I think it helps to give us good models. But to make a significant impact, it certainly has to be a national effort. And I think you are going to see Congress take the lead.
Give me some concrete examples of what you're talking about.
Well, first of all, I think when you start talking about energy independence, there's two aspects of it. On the short term, there's going to have to be more conservation to help slow down the use. But in the intermediate and certainly long term, we have to have new technology breakthroughs. That's what it's going to have to be, whether it is clean coal, whether, you know, there's a variety of, you know, better lithium batteries. And a couple of years ago, I asked the National Academies to do a really report on competitiveness of America in the 21st century. And they brought together a very distinguished group, Norm Augustine, the former head of Lockheed Martin, Craig Barrett, the head of Intel, and many other academic as well as entrepreneurs. And they said that we were really heading in the wrong direction, that it was going to be a very difficult situation for America to be competitive in the 21st century. And they gave us two really areas. One is math and science education, which I'll be happy, maybe we can talk about later, mm-hmm. some things I'm doing there. And the other was energy independence. And this was before we saw the spike in oil prices. And one of their major recommendations was that we look at the DARPA model within the Department of Defense that it does a lot of cutting-edge technologies where they develop the Internet, stealth technology, things of that nature. And then we try to do something similar within the Energy Department, and I call it ARPA-E, where we're going to try to peer review the 7 or 8 most cutting-edge likely types of new technology in the area of alternative energies or conservation, whatever it might be, and really bring together on a crash basis our public sector, private sector, the national labs, and really make some breakthroughs that not only can help us get into energy independence in this country, but can create jobs with new industry and also exports. So technology really is going to be our future here.
Do you see Congress putting any kind of curbs on carbon emissions?
Well, I think that, you know, that's, you know, clearly going to be in the mix, and that's what we're in the process now of having hearings both within the Science Committee as well as on the Energy and Commerce to just decide, you know, what is the best way to do this, looking at examples in Europe and in the States, and clearly you're going to see some type of a climate change program put together.
Mm-hmm. We're going to be talking a bit later about an alternative way of dealing with emissions being cap and trade instead of just putting a limitation, which had some great success with sulfur emissions and other pollutants, which were reduced significantly. Could a cap and trade system work for carbon emissions?
Well, I mean, I think that's one of the things that's being looked at. And, you know, I think at the end of the day, you're not going to find one silver bullet. Whether it is climate change or energy independence, there's going to be a variety of approaches to it, and we need to bring them together in a sensible way so that they enhance each other and there's a synergy.
Ken, you know, it's almost been unable for this country to tackle really big problems like we used to. I mean, we've shied away from big problems, for example, the healthcare system, the grid that's creaky and on the verge of collapse we keep hearing about, energy independence, the transition to a different kind of energy economy, first possibly winding up with hydrogen. How do we get past that? How do we get, you know, into a mode where we can tackle a giant problem akin to what we keep talking about? If we wanted to go to the moon, you know, it took us 10 years and we did it. It went through various administrations.
Well, we really need to have not only congressional but also presidential leadership. And so I hope that we're going to be able to develop a partnership. One problem that we have now, and it's unfortunate, just a few years ago, we had a budget surplus for the first time in many years. Now we have an enormous budget deficit. And not all of these solutions have a dollar figure, but many of them do, particularly if you're going to get into the new research. So, but we are fortunate in that earlier in this session, Congress has passed taken back some of the excessive tax rebates that the oil companies were given. Clearly, at this time, with the price of oil being so high, they don't need to have incentives to drill. And so this gives us something of a what you might call a trust fund to address some of these issues. And I think this is just a it's a moral imperative, and as we have to explain to people to look around at your kids and grandkids, and this is for them.
Well, let's talk a bit about education and our kids and science and education. I know that you're very interested in innovation. You mentioned that a bit before. A big factor in our being competitive is the quality of science and math education in the country. What do we do about this?
Well, fortunately, this Rising Above the Gathering Storm committee made some very good recommendations. I'll try to be quick with this. You know, when you look at the problems, you know, you've seen how poorly our students do in compared to the students around the rest of the world. I think the last report I saw that only Cyprus and South Africa had worse scores than we have in math and science. About 2 weeks ago, there was a study of the seniors in high school, and over half of those here in the United States were not, you know, even close to being proficient. And if you look at that, you know, you first think, well, do we need smaller classrooms? Do we need more equipment? The real problem is this. Over 50% of the math teachers in this country have neither a major or a certification to teach math. 92% of the physical science teachers, K-12, have neither a major or certification to teach those courses. So it's very difficult, you know, to teach or inspire if you don't have good subject background. And so what we want to try to do is a couple of things. One, we want to set up 10,000 scholarships, competitive scholarships a year for those students that will go into math, science, and education and agree to teach for 5 years. And that'll get us some good teachers down the line, but more quickly, we'll be providing stipends to bring in teachers during the summer to either get their certification or raise themselves to an AP level. So we really have to raise the content level of our teachers that are teaching these subjects. As scientists come before us all the time, I ask them, why do they get interested you know, in the subject. A few will say Sputnik or John Kennedy or something else, but most of them, it was a teacher somewhere that inspired them.
Yeah, I always hear that. You ask a scientist, they'll say there was some teacher who was behind it all.
And so that's why it's very critical that we increase this these math and science skills. And I think we're going to do that. We're going to pass it out of my committee next week. It's a high priority for Speaker Pelosi, and you're going to see something done on that area.
I just have a minute left. I know you have to go. Can you get anything really done with $100 billion being sucked out of the economy and the budget every year by the wars going on? Can you really make any progress?
Well, that obviously makes it more difficult, but I'm optimistic that this war is not going to go on forever and that we are going to be able to find some savings there, and we're going to apply it toward our kids and grandkids.
Mm-hmm. So you're optimistic and you look forward to your chairmanship here.
I'm excited about it. There's a lot of work, you know, to get things up and going. There's, we're very concerned about some of the way science has been treated the last few years and the integrity.
Big issue.
Yeah.
Integrity
and,
of science.
We're going to try to bring more honesty to that issue, and I think that we will. And I think there's just a bright day ahead.
Well, we always like to see scientists testifying on Capitol Hill, because it.
Well, you'll see that you already have, and there'll be more.
I hope you'll be as friendly to us as your predecessor, Sherry Bollett, was. Always was a gentleman coming on our show and talking about what was going on in the Hill. I thank you.
Well, thank you very much. Sherry was a quality fellow, and I would be happy to be anywhere close to his standard.
Thank you very much, Congressman, and good luck to you.
Thank you. Bye.
Representative Bart Gordon, U.S. Representative of Tennessee 6th District, and he's chairman of the House Committee on Science and Technology, talking about some of the priorities. Lots of challenges ahead for science in Congress having to do with energy, global warming, and the integrity of science itself. We're going to take a short break, come back, talk lots more about science and politics this hour, talking about an idea that I brought up with the congressman about carbon trading. Rather than just capping carbon, why don't we trade it? And the credits like we used to do with other pollutants, maybe that's an option. And a nice research paper out this week about it. We'll talk about it. Stay with us. We'll be right back after this short break. I'm Ira Flatow. This is Talk of the Nation Science Friday from NPR News.